You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, y'all? You're listening to Girls Talkin' Boys in partnership with SB Nation. I'm Megan Murray, and I'm joined today by a very special guest from across the pond. We have Brian Gaynor with UK Cowboys. How are you doing, Brian?
Doing well today, Meg. Absolutely sweltering in the heat here in Ireland. It's 30 degrees. I have a red face. We don't have any AC, so I have a little desk fan here beside me. So it feels like I'm in Texas.
Well, hopefully you'll be in Texas soon. I know we're all trying to make that happen over here, at least. So, you know,
yeah,
you guys got to follow suit with your travel guidelines and stuff. Get over here.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Paul from our crew is desperate to get back over. I think he's literally tweeted Joe Biden on multiple occasions saying, you know, let's loosen up the restrictions. I want to go to Dallas.
Hey, anytime they're ready, we are ready to have you. So come through. So being a UK Cowboys fan, you guys have a pretty solid crew over there. Like, you have a bunch of guys working over there. Yeah. So I was wondering,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are so fun. Like, you do those like live streams, and I got to hop on for the draft one. That was really fun, and you had a special guest join.
Yeah. I did. I mean, I think that was almost right after we had you on. And I was going, this is great. We've had Meg on. I can sit back. I can relax. And then for anyone who doesn't know, I mean, myself and Meg share a love of a certain
Dallas Cowboy, or a previous Dallas Cowboy.
a certain previous Dallas Cowboy. And unbeknownst to me, yeah, who's still available.
Yeah.
But unbeknownst to me, Our sponsor, Barry, from the Cowboys Experience team over in the US, had rang Jeff and his wife, Paige, that morning, asked them, were they available? And literally Jeff said, yeah, I'm there. I'm here at this certain time. And we had Jeff Heath on the show.
I remember I had just gotten off with you guys, and Paul was messaging me on Twitter like, okay, we have a big surprise for Brian. You have to like tune back in and watch. And I was like, you got Jeff Heath, didn't you? And he goes, yes. So I was very excited for you.
Yeah.
I'll have to find you.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I totally fanboyed.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I think I took a screen grab of that, so I'll have to post it. For everyone to see what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we have the YouTube link. The shows are still up on YouTube, so tune in. It was fantastic. And in that same...
Sorry, you guys had 24 hours of coverage, right?
Yeah, 24 hours. In that same eight-hour period, we had Drew Pearson, we had Stephen Jones, we had Meg Murray, we had Kelsey, we had RJ, also from Blogging with Boys, and then we had most of the team from the Dallas Cowboys media team themselves. Like, so it was great to see literally anyone we reached out to and said, this is what we're doing. It was like, yeah, no problem. We're there. When do you want us? Let's check calendars. Like, I chanced my arm and sent messages to Stephen, to Jerry and Will. And literally, I got an email from Derek in the middle of February. He said, did you send Stephen an email and ask him to come on the show? And I was like, yeah, I did. All right, okay, he'll be available at this time.
I love that.
I'm getting Stephen Jones. And to be fair, Will came back to me and said, I would love to do the show, but it's during draft week. It's Jerry, Mike, and Stephen are the only people who talk to the media. But, you know, everybody we asked made themselves available. Couldn't believe it.
I mean, we got to show you guys love like you show us love. So,
yeah.
It's all part of the Dallas Cowboys community.
And that's the amazing thing is that, like, what I think me and you've known each other about 4 years at this stage. And, you know, like, literally, it was a case of he'd do something and it'd be you or me be going, post the picture, get it up. You know, but like.
No, I was just going to say, if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, it's actually the creator of the meme is Dave Hellman. But it's just Jeff Heath with a goat head on him because we call him the goat because he just always shows up right when you need him.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. He's the best. So what do you guys have like planned coming up for the season? Are you doing any training camp coverage? Are you doing like reviews of Hard Knocks or?
So literally we finished up our positional review show last week. So we've gone through all the way from the draft all the way through. We were planning on taking a 6 week break. It just kept going. Like we got to special teams and coaches last week. And we're on, there's no point stopping now. So like the guys will be on in an hour and going, yeah, they're going to start reviewing training camp and what news is out there. So we're probably going to go from training camp last year all the way through to the end of the season.
Wow. You guys don't quit. I love that. So, okay. Obviously I was on the draft show with you guys. I feel like, you know, 24 hours of coverage, you probably went over every single result of the draft, like known to man. So were you expecting Micah Parsons?
Yeah.
You were?
No, no, not at all. Like, I didn't foresee a trade back. I knew it was going to be a case of if there was a cornerback available at 10, and then obviously Carolina and Atlanta both went corner ahead of us, and then it was, oh, it's got to be Micah Parsons then. And then we traded out. And I was going, why are we trading? And then two spots later, we still get Micah Parsons. So it was something... some of us kind of said, yeah, we'd like Micah Parsons, but, you know, how will he fit in with Jalen, with LVE? I think Sean Lee had just announced his retirement, and we're going, right, okay, one former Penn State linebacker for another. But it was literally only when Nick Eatman, he dialed back into the call after the pick was announced and said, yeah, like, Parsons was the best defensive player on their board. That's who they wanted, but they were going to take a corner if one of them was there. So it made sense.
Oh, I agree with you. I was kind of like, are they going to go O-line? Like there was a little still something in the back of my head, but no, they went linebacker. So that was, it tripped us up.
Yeah. I think on our show, like there's Graham and Rich who love an O-line player. Absolutely crying out. And it's totally understandable because we'll get into it in a wee bit. But, you know, the fact that we haven't restocked the offensive line with a first round pick in years, that we're going second, third, fourth, even seventh round picks this year, it just doesn't instill a lot of confidence. You're going, where's my Travis Frederick? Where's my Zach Martin? That's who you want.
Yeah. And I mean, today, we'll get into this in a bit, but today we did see Zach and Lyell and Tyron walk into training camp together, and I got the chills. So,
yeah,
it's going to be very exciting. Were there any moves that they made in the off season though that like surprised you or made you excited?
I think the signing of the offseason wasn't a player. For me, it's Dan Quinn was our best addition this offseason in terms of he's a hands-on defensive coordinator. You've seen him playing nose tackle in certain scenarios. He's talking to the players. He's instructing the players. He's not standing 100 yards away on a tower. He wants to be there with the guys, showing them what to do, how to do it. He's surrounded himself then with guys who know the Dan Quinn system in bringing in Keanu Neal, bringing in DeMonte Kazee. So it's clever. But the draft then itself was predicated around getting Dan Quinn guys, getting guys with his measurables all over the team. And you could see it, like, he was getting 6'4" cornerbacks with 84-inch wingspans, and you're going, holy hell, what is he doing? But, you know, they're the guys that play his system, and that's what you want.
Yeah, he knows what he's looking for, so that's always fun.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so today was the first day of training camp. It's also Ezekiel Elliott's birthday, and I saw that there was a bunch of fans there singing him happy birthday, so that was fun. But yeah,
that was great.
Oh yeah, it was so cute. And then of course, you know, there's all the throwback pictures of him being posted. He was a very expressive child, so that was always a good fun thing to come out of birthdays for Cowboys fans to check out.
It was great to see one of them though, where he slimmed down by 100 pounds from last year.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't believe that. I missed when it was posted, but obviously as a joke, someone put out there a photo of Joe Looney wearing the 21 jersey with his like big belly hanging out. And then they put like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott now with his shirt off. And it was very funny. I just saw it yesterday. I don't know how I missed it, but he's looking really good.
Yeah. He's looking ripped. He's looking like he's redeveloping his cutting ability. And you're kind of going, yeah, I remember that Zeke Elliott in the first season where, you know, he was making a break and gone and through the gap. And he looks lean. He looks down at that size. And I think the fact he had a bad season last season, but I think that's more credit. It was more based off him trying to take on so much with Dak gone. He was trying to step up and be the leader of that offense. And rather than being Zeke Elliott, the explosive runner that he was, he took too much on himself.
I think that's a really good point that, I mean, I'm sure people have discussed this, but Kelsey and I haven't actually discussed that on here. Yeah, he did take on a lot last year, even when they were trying to mix in Pollard and stuff. That's just a lot on him, because he usually has his best friend, his number one, next to him. So yeah, that's a good point. I'll be excited to see him with Dak back. The dynamic duo.
I think everyone's going to be excited to see Dak back. And just like that, I think by the end of today, I think we're going to be lit up with pictures and clips from training camp of Dak throwing the ball, Dak doing Dak things. And I think it's going to be when he gets on the field and has that first run at someone. And you know the way Dak can just go straight over somebody. And, you know, for a guy who's a quarterback, he's built like a damn linebacker.
Yeah.
And I just want to see that first case where he puts his shoulder in and hits on a linebacker and puts them on their backside.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be so good.
Yeah.
And I've already seen, like, of course, we're doing this. We're recording in the middle of practice right now. So we're going to get some good stuff coming in. You'll need to tune into the Ocho tomorrow morning to get more of a breakdown from today's practice with RJ.
Yeah.
But it's kind of what you're getting at there is kind of what Jerry talked about yesterday in the press conference, how, you know, the 90s leadership, and he really wants to get back to that place like we all do. And he insinuated, you know, I'm not telling you that Zeke is Emmett or that we have anyone like Michael Irvin, but we have someone that has that same drive and leadership and energy, and it's it's hint, hint, it's our quarterback. So
yeah,
glowing words from Jerry yesterday.
Yeah. It is. And like when you, like, if you look back at any of those America's game from that three Super Bowls we won, literally the way everybody talks about Troy Aikman, and Troy Aikman is probably my favorite cowboy of all time. It's the leadership and the calmness that he brought to the huddle. You know, like I think it was Emmett or Michael Irvin that literally said, you know, the guys in the huddle were saying, give Emmett the ball. The offensive line guys want to give Emmett the ball. Michael was demanding the ball to be aired out. And literally Troy would put his foot into the huddle and everyone would shut up. And that seems to be the case now with Dak. It's, you lead us, Dak. We trust you. We believe in you. And that's what you want from your quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. I love that Troy Aikman is your favorite cowboy too.
Yeah, it was like, I started following the Cowboys in 88, and it literally was because of Troy Aikman. Like, there was three factors behind me following the Cowboys. It was Troy Aikman. It was the Dallas State, the old Texas Stadium. I remember seeing it in the old Dallas before, when it was JR and Bobby, and literally that flyover over Texas Stadium. And I was like, wow, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I want to go to that stadium. Never got there. But literally, it's like that. It's that story about Troy seeing that leadership that he had. And you're just going, like, he looked like the typical all-American jock. But he seemed to be the nicest guy behind it. And that was like, wow, yeah.
That's so cool. I love that he really does represent that to this day. Now he's, you know, in broadcast, but he still talks about football with that, like, same, I don't know, zest, I guess, like from, yeah, like being on the field in the 90s. Like, that's, he's premium, obviously.
Yeah. It's true. But like, if you throw it back to the guy before him, Roger Staubach, I mean, the stuff that, you know, he has done for teammates in the past. I mean, Troy, obviously, as I say, Troy was my favorite cowboy of all time, but it's nearly hard not to have loved Roger as well, because Captain America, you know, he was in the armed forces, went and did his tours of duty, came back and had a 10-season career. And then went on and had a huge business career. He looked after all of his former teammates. Like, I remember hearing the stories about when Drew Pearson had his car accident, you know, when Charlie Waters lost his son, when Thomas Henderson was recovering from drug addiction. He looked after all of them. And he seemed to pass that on to Troy as well, you know, that you look after those guys and make sure they're okay.
So I take it that when you started your fandom back in 88 and you really got into the Cowboys and Troy Aikman, that you kind of went back and did a little history lesson. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, not even that. It's in recent years, like, because we literally in 1988, the only access we had to American football was a one game on Sunday night. And it was at 1 a.m., but it's more since the internet era came about that, like, that we were able to watch America's team and, you know, see interviews with the players, see interviews with the likes of Charlie Waters, with Thomas Anderson. You got to get an image of who these people actually were as men, not just as football players.
Oh, yeah. And you guys, like, to this day, as a fan base in the UK, are so dedicated. Like, what time are you watching, like, a Sunday night football game?
A Sunday night football game for us is 1 a.m. till 5 a.m. Whew. And having an hour of sleep and getting up and going to work.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're crazy over here. We're nothing like you guys.
No, it's crazy.
are you all just like watching them at home? Or are you kind of getting together and watching them? Like how does that usually work for you guys over there?
So the funny thing is I've never actually met the rest of the team. I live in Ireland. So I've never met the guys. So I've known Jamie since 2015 and I've never met him. And like that, the guys always organize one game a year where they go to one of the international games at Wembley and now at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And I haven't managed to get across yet. And like that, I was going to go across for games last season. And then obviously the big C hit.
Yeah.
And no international games. I don't think there's going to be international games this year. And traveling to the UK, it's nearly on a banned list for us here in Ireland because of the amount of cases they have at the minute. So I'm looking forward to eventually getting across to meet the guys and meet up because I'm based in Ireland. We've three of the guys are based in Scotland, two are based in Wales, and then we've Jamie who's based in the middle of England. So to eventually meet up with those guys is going to be great.
Yeah, you have to live stream that whenever that happens.
Yeah. Well, we're banking on you being over for that.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, as soon as I can, I will get over there for sure.
Yeah.
I always forget, though, that it's hard for you guys like in Ireland to travel down in that area. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And like the funny thing was, I saw Kelsey had a post up today and she was asking about where she should go, about going to Rome, about going to Greece. I think she was looking to go to somewhere in Germany and I was there like Dublin, Ireland. Close the book.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's for, there's a couple events that she gets to choose from for work. I'm assuming that's what she
is. Very good.
But Dublin's definitely like number one on my list. So I'll be there. You know, I got my last name's Murray. There's Irish heritage right there. So I'm trying 100%. To come as soon as possible. Actually, my parents
and
were
that's supposed the thing to go we over. Know you can drink.
My parents were supposed to go over before COVID or like right when COVID hit. So they were very bummed.
Yeah. And this is the thing, you being Irish, I know you're going to be able to drink.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I'd say you'll probably drink me under the table, but that won't be hard.
Well, I know that the alcohol content's a little higher over there. So I don't know. I'll have to test the waters first and then I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, I could talk to you about your experience as a Cowboys fan over there all day. I guess, but to be more a little bit on topic, we'll go back. Well, I like to go back and forth. You can tell. I was just wondering, I feel like you guys have probably talked about this on your show, but what are you guys looking from the team at camp? Like, what are you looking to see from them?
Yeah, I think the kind of key areas are the front seven of the defense. So it's seeing firstly, are we lining up as a 4-3 or a 3-4 or a hybrid? And then who's going to line up where? Because obviously, DeMarcus we saw today is on PUP, but we all know DeMarcus Lawrence is starting on the left side. So who's going to start opposite him on the right end? Is it going to be Randy? Is it going to be Terrell Basham? Is it going to be Brent Urban? You know, who's that other guy? And then obviously we all want a run stopping defensive tackle in the team. And unfortunately, again, we saw today Tristan Hill is injured and going on PUP. And you're going like, you've been here for 3 years, you've started on PUP, you got injured last season, and you're starting on PUP again this season, and you're just going like, can we rely on you? Can we keep carrying you like this? I mean, I think I've seen it from a lot of people suggesting that he's going to be a surprise cut at the end of camp. And he's a guy that needs a good camp. And now he's on PUP and you're on, we can't make any determination about him. But it's like that. It's seeing what way Dan Quinn is going to figure out that front four. And then obviously flipping it back then is where he's going to play the linebackers and who he's going to play. Because Jalen and Leighton, we don't know if they're going to be on the roster for 2022. It's a possibility neither of them are there, and they have to show up. Mike Parsons is definitely going to be there. And then the guy that we talked about when we had you on the show pre-draft, and we said he'd be a great pickup in the second, and we got him in the fourth, Jabril Cox from LSU.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I was very excited about that one, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing. Like, as soon as that pick came in, I was there, yes. And then I was going, Meg is going to be delighted about this.
It's so true. But yeah, I think all eyes are on the defense and Dan Quinn right now. So you make a perfect point about that. It's been a hard couple years watching them try to figure out what their identity is. Now they seem to have a leader and as a coach, I should say, because they have D-Law obviously as a leader, on the team, just going from the last couple of years to this year, we're, expecting big things from them.
I wouldn't say we're expecting huge things from him. I think it's about normality. Like with Rod Marinelli, we had the orphans and, you know, he got them to a middle of the road defense and then he fell off in the Chris Richard 2 years. And then we all saw what happened last year where everything fell asunder. Like if Dan Quinn can come in and make this a middle of the pack defense this year, that, you know, 16 to 20 ranked defense, we have the offense who can win you games. It's just being that bit better on defense can push you from a 7-9 record up to a 12-5 record this season.
Oh, definitely. You put it way more eloquently than me. I'm saying, like, if we can not turn the ball over every two, or like turning the ball over is a good thing on defense, but not like fumble and like screw up every 2 seconds on defense. Like, that's a big thing for me.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. And like, I mean, we didn't help our defense a lot last year. As you say, fumbles. Like, I think what, Zeke fumbled 3 times against the Bengals and put us in a hole. We were lucky Dak was able to bail us out. But it is, you're right. The key was we didn't get turnovers from the defense until nearly the end of the season. Like, I think Trayvon Diggs had the most interceptions with 2 last season. 2 interceptions, like, that's pathetic.
Not good. Or it's a start, you would hope, at the beginning of the season, but not like throughout the whole entire season. That's just crazy. They could not put together a comprehensive play on the ball to save their lives last year.
No. And like, they couldn't stop the run, which pushed everything back a level, because they were getting through the defensive tackles straight onto the linebackers. And as we say, Leighton wasn't there for half the season. Sean Lee wasn't Sean Lee. And Jalen was running around the place, not knowing where he should be, because plan always was last season was Leighton was going to play the mic. He was going to be the leader on the defense. And Jalen was trying to cover for absolutely everybody and covered for nobody at the same time.
Ugh. Yeah. I'm really interested to see what they do with the linebacker core, because they blind leading the blind last year. So yeah, adding Micah Parsons in, he's already fun. I was a little skeptical of him, but he's already come in and brought a lot of energy, and he's already ready to go. He's been working out all the time. All he puts out is workout content and just being goofy.
Yeah. I'm beating Amari Cooper's ass at chess.
Yes. I really do hope that they show some of that in Hard Knocks. We'll see. But he does play often.
Yeah, he does. And for me, that kind of shows it's a level of intelligence within a person to be able to play chess. It's very strategic. And for a linebacker to play like that, you're going, okay, this guy just gets it. He's going to know and have that ability to tell guys, this is where you're supposed to be. Go half a step or go a step to the left or right and pick up assignments. You have to be able to strategize and go, right, if I do this, I'm setting a trap and this is what he's going to do in response. And that's good. But another part of what I liked about our draft this year was we picked up guys with attitude. Parsons, he's not afraid to back himself. Kelvin Joseph is not afraid to back himself. I don't know if it was Dan Quinn said it or if Jerry said it, but it's dogs. We need dogs on this defense. And they went out and got them.
Yeah, no, they really did. I think I'm excited to see if they have some sort of attack plan. Maybe we don't get Hot Boys back. Maybe we get some sort of dog pound or not. I mean, that's Cleveland. We'll have to think of something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be a wolf pack.
Don't worry. Could be a wolf pack. Yeah, definitely. Don't worry. We'll come up with a pun before the season starts with a name for this team.
Between all of us combined, I'm sure we can come up with something good.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you looking for the offense? I mean, I guess we're all kind of just looking to see how Dak's going to do returning back after that injury. And I know, we are getting Blake Jarwin back, so that's super exciting. But is there anything you're looking for in terms of scheme or?
Where I'm interested is the O-line. It's we have the skill guys behind. We have Dak, we have Zeke, we have Tony, we have our three receivers, we have our two tight ends. But it's making sure that the O-line is actually functioning. Because if you have that O-line functioning and you have Zach Martin opening up the huge holes that he can, and if Tyler Biadasz can start playing like the center he can be, boy, they could be unstoppable. Yes. But it's trying to see, can Biadasz be that guy? Because I remember watching tape of Biadasz before he came out, and a lot of people had him ranked as a first-round guy. And then he got injured in the latter half of his last season in Wisconsin, and it dropped him down the board. He was a four-time pickup who I was excited to get. But he obviously had his issues where he was not snapping the ball correctly to Andy Dalton. And that ended up that Joe Looney came in and started playing center. But it's for me that the two positions are your left guard and your tack or your center, and who plays there and how they play there, because Connor McGovern is there as well. He's in season three. He needs to make a case for himself, because Connor Williams is out of contract next season. They're not going to be able to afford to keep him. McGovern will be going into a contract year. They don't know what they have. And Biadasz is there, and you're going, we don't know what we have. So it's trying to figure out those two positions, because we know what we have in the two tackles and Zach Martin.
Yeah, and it's a matter of how the depth goes, as far as God forbid any of them get injured. How can you put together a line that's still cohesive? So watching Tyler will definitely be a key thing to pay attention to in the training camp. And I'm really interested to see what they do with Tony Pollard.
Yeah. Like, I it'll be interesting to see if they go with the 21 man personnel and try and use both of them. Because if you we all know what Zeke is and what he can be, and he can be a threat out of the backfield. But if you have, say, that three-headed monster of Tony, Zeke, and then Dak, who can all run the ball, and the two boys can catch the ball as well, and just if they can mix it up and get those guys involved in certain spots, what kind of havoc is that going to wreak? Because you have to have an element of surprise within the team. You can't just rely on having, it's right, Zach is going to open up the hole and Zeke's going to run through it. You have to mix it up and match it in, and just how they do that. Because what Kellmore is going into his third season as the offensive coordinator, and you know, he's got to be learning as well. He's developing his style. And what wrinkles is he going to add into the playbook this year? Because he's going to add in some.
Yeah, I mean, they always talk about how creative he is. Let's get something weird going out there.
Yeah. Just so long as he uses Zeke in the red zone. Because it was his one Achilles heel last season was he tried to be far too cute in the red zone, that, you know, he'd try and throw it and he didn't have a receiver who could go up and get the ball. He didn't have a Dez Bryant that you can throw that back shoulder fade to. Now, maybe this year with Dak back, with Lamb a little bit better. And the one guy I think who I'm excited about is Simi Fehoko. You're seeing what he can do because he's a big guy. And if he can be the guy that they can use in those red zone situations and be that guy for a back shoulder fade.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely interested in watching Simi too and seeing if he can, like, at least, like, get a couple throws here and there. We'll see.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's kind of one of the things we were going to say. Who are we interested to see in training camp? And guys that are potentially on that bubble for going. And I think for me, Cedric Wilson is one that's in huge danger because Fehoko can do a lot of things. He's also a lot cheaper. He's almost $1.5 million cheaper on the cap this year than Cedric Wilson. So can Simi do it on special teams as well? That's where he's going to earn his bread this year.
Yeah, special teams is going to be also, I mean, we got to look out for everybody, right? Like, we want to see what everyone's doing. Mm-hmm. We want to know how the whole team's going to approach this season. But special teams as well is going to be, that's always something that we've kind of struggled with. I always, when we're fixing to, you know, run it back and all that stuff, I'm always like holding my breath. Like, what are you going to do now? How are you going to mess this up? So.
Yeah. And like, it's great. Special teams deserve a little bit of love. And like, we had our show last week and we went on for an hour and 45 minutes. We didn't even know we'd gone that long. And that was just talking more or less about the special teams and the coaches. And we were going like, you know, what are they going to do? Because I was saying, like, obviously with Bones Fassel, we have Greg Zuerlein, his former kicker, Jake McQuaid, his former long snapper. And how long is it before he goes out and looks to get Johnny Hecker in here as well?
Probably wouldn't be any time at all if the way he's going. Yeah.
But like that, it's a case of when, you know, what wrinkles is he going to add? Because he's been inventive. He's definitely used things, but you don't want to see him trying to run a sneak on 4th and 10.
And people can listen to this on your YouTube at, is it just youtube.com/ like UK Cowboys?
UK Cowboys Fans TV.
Fans TV. All right. Perfect. Yeah. If you want to get some in-depth insight to how this is going to go down this year, sounds like they went on for a long time about that. And you got to check it out.
Yeah.
I'll give you that plug right there. So as far as I'm trying to keep an eye on, like, what's been happening today. Let's see, we got, the Hard Knocks crew, that was something that I was interested in, how it was going to affect like operations and stuff. Looks like they only have about 2 to 4 people out there. So they're kind of staying back, which is nice. What did you think of the Hard Knocks news when you found out?
It's a case of they need a boost. So you go to America's team and you say, we'll put John. Jerry Jones is not going to say no to free advertising. He's going to that up. So, you know, it's going to be a case of who's going to be the stars of this season's Hard Knocks. Will it be Jerry? Will it be Dak? Will it be Zeke? Will it be Micah Parsons? Or who's a guy deep on the roster, you know, that you're gonna end up rooting for? Like, I'm gonna actually tip a guy that we might see something from. And you're gonna be happy about this because it's a safety. Tyler Coyle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
undrafted,
you know what?
Undrafted free agent.
We always need to give the safety some love.
Yeah.
They do a hard job and they get no love from Twitter, at least. So
they get no love from the front office either.
Oh, especially the front office. Yeah, they don't even get drafted from the front office. They have to get like a phone call after the draft.
Yeah.
Man. I'm hoping to see a little like Randy Gregory too. That would be a good guy to follow.
Mm. Yeah. He'll be one of those kind of pull at your heartstring stories.
Yeah.
Do you know? But I think to be fair to Randy, you've heard nothing this offseason about Randy Gregory, which is fantastic to hear. He, you know, he's a guy who is very likable. And every one of his teammates roots for him. Like I think I remember hearing a couple of years ago, when he was, you know, put on the he was banned, and he had guys like Witten, Romo, Dak, Jeff, the offensive line guys. They all wrote letters to Goodell and saying, it's wrong that you're keeping this guy away. This guy needs to be with us. He needs to be around the facility. He needs to have structure in his life, because when he doesn't have that structure, he goes off the rail. So I think it's going to be a great thing to see him in that environment where people give a damn about him and are not trying to feed off of him, that, you know, they just want their teammate to do well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because I know he does prefer to not be like the center of attention, but he has such a compelling story that I don't see how they can't give him a little spotlight.
Yeah, they will give him some love, definitely.
Yeah, I think, and as you mentioned, I think right now Jerry is trying to be the star after that press conference yesterday. Oh my goodness.
Did you see the Switzer story?
The Switzer story? No. What did I miss?
Oh my God. So basically Jerry was talking about Jimmy Johnson and the fact that Jimmy is going to go into the Ring of Honor as soon as possible. But he was saying that when he called Barry about becoming head coach, and he brought Barry down to Dallas, and Barry said to him, he said, where's Jimmy Johnson at? Because Barry had been the coach of Jimmy and Jerry when they were in Arkansas and won that national title. And Jerry was there, he's gone. And no, Jerry, where's Jimmy Johnson at? Where is he? I want to talk to him right now. And like, he's there. No, Barry, Jimmy is gone. And it was like, I want to sit down. I want to sit him down with you and tell you what an A you are, you know, and how did you guys both this up for everybody.
I don't know how I missed that part of it. I did see the Jimmy Johnson, like he was kind of feeling like guilty about that, as he should. But Barry, tell him.
Yes.
Barry was on this from the get, as were, I think, most Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, he was, you know, just dropping F-bombs and like, telling all sorts of, he was spilling a lot of tea, as we say over here. I don't No, if you, that's a yeah. common phrase over in the UK. But
yeah. No, it is.
yeah, yeah, he was spilling a lot of tea.
Yeah. But I think one of the nicest things I saw out of that whole thing, though, and I think it was Jane Slater picked it up, was that Jerry went to see Clarence Hill before he went up on stage, because I know Clarence's mum passed away and he hadn't seen Clarence since that had happened. You know, that, you know, the people actually get to see a side of Jerry Jones. Is a human. He does care about people. He's not an absolute megalomaniac. You know, that there is that human touch there with him.
Yeah, I'm not usually one to feel bad for billionaires, but when he was getting a little weepy, I felt kind of bad for him.
yeah.
But on the same token, I was like, I feel bad for all of us too, for having to put up with this for so long.
Well, that's the funny thing at this stage. I would say Stephen is sitting there going, when are you going to leave the building? You know, I want to be able to run the Cowboys when I can actually remember running the Cowboys. Do you know, I mean, we all know de facto that Stephen is running things, but, yeah. You know, and he's running things with Will McClay, but it's trying to keep that leash on Jerry and, you know, keep him from saying something stupid or something dumb or make a dumb decision. You know, and I think they're almost there at this stage. I think if we could win another Super Bowl, that would say Jerry would just ride off into the sunset with that.
Probably, yeah. And then if Steven, whenever that does happen, then you have an in with the new GM and owner of the team. So
there we go. I mean, as I say, I still have his personal assistant's information, and she has told me I can call anytime I like. So,
see, that's a relationship you got to keep, like, keep her happy over there.
Yes.
You're going to get the VIP treatment whenever he's the owner of the team.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, speaking of which, I need to know your most treasured Cowboys memory and also like your worst one, because those usually go hand in hand.
Yeah, I suppose my most treasured one. Yeah, look, we've touched on it already. It was the Jeff Eat on draft night. It was like, oh my God, how has this happened? You know, like ultimately for years, like in Ireland, there's a couple of teams who dominate: the Packers, Patriots, the Giants, and the Bears. There are very few Dallas Cowboys fans. So when I managed to reach out to the guys in the UK and got to know them, that was great. And then it's like that, it's been chancing your arm with things. And like that, you know, I chanced my arm with Stephen and got it. Chanced my arm with Will. And he messaged back. And that's the amazing thing, is you get to meet people. And as much as it's great to be having in with them, it's great to also have an in with people like yourself, Kelsey, with RJ, you know, all the other content creators out there in America who do a much better job than we can ever do. But you all give us the time of day. You all want to help us out and grow the game. And that's like that. That's the amazing thing. Is that you have people like that in your life.
Well, we love having you. It's always fun. You guys could talk for hours and hours, obviously, which is just the best to listen to.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We could. If I was to pick out a worst moment, I think it was losing the 94 NFC Championship game and losing it after 8 minutes, because that was one of the games that was always on. And I remember, like, what, I was 13 at the time and being absolutely devastated. And then we came back and I think we lost by 10 points in the end. And like, it was right down to the wire, and just that sheer devastation, because you knew we weren't going to do the three-peat, you know, that no team had ever done. And it was just like, oh man, I can't believe we're not going to do it. And I had a couple of 49er friends at the time, and the abuse I got the following day at school, and it was like, oh, go away.
That right there is the reason why we will always hate the 49ers, and people need to stop forgetting how much we hate them.
Yeah. it's the forgotten rivalry within the NFL, because for 10 years, the Cowboys and the 49ers was the biggest thing going. It was so intense. They hated each other. I mean, Jerry Rice threw a punch at someone in one of those games. And Jerry Rice was one of the nicest guys in the NFL, but he was throwing punches at people.
Yeah, and I feel like, obviously, it's what have you done for me lately? Who is making me mad now? And it's the Packers or like our NFC East rivals. But let us not forget where we came from, and that is hating the 49ers.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I'm so glad you came and joined me today while Kelsey was out this week. It was nice to have you.
Absolutely. As we say, it's always great to get chatting to you, and rather than just over messages or anything like that, get to actually have a good proper chat with you, because like that, we've had you on a couple of times, but like it's great to have had the time with you today.
Oh, well, tell the people where they can find you and harass you about all their Cowboys takes.
So you can find the UK Cowboys. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We have YouTube channel where we do our podcasts each week. We also have links to that in our Twitter and Instagram feeds as well. Our podcasts are downloadable on iTunes, Spotify, all those kind of major streaming services. So we are there. We're out there, and you can get in touch with us.
And they can find you on Twitter at Brian Gaynor, right?
I think it's at Gaynor Brian.
Oh, Gaynor. Okay, there we go. You go find him. I'll tag him as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you came and joined us. You can find us next week. Kelsey and I will be back reviewing what happened, all the craziness of the week, weekend week, and all that good stuff of training camp. It'll be a good time. You can find us at anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, all the crazy apps, we're all there, Blogging the Boys.
Yeah.
Make sure to listen to, I know we had a lot of good shows this week with RJ on the Ocho. The guys at Roiled Up did a good job of talking about the Jerry press conference on Wednesday. And I know Talking the Star and all those guys, they got you covered for anything you may be wondering about, anything you want to talk about for the Cowboys, we got you covered. So join us on Blogging the Boys, and we'll see you next week. Oh, and would you like to leave the people with something special? Dallas forever, Philly for never.
For never.
That's right.